Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Matos, we have six Divrei Torah. We are going to start out with Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, it's time to take revenge against the Midianim. The Midianim over the last Parsha, at the end of the prior Parsha, sent their women to entice the men of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, successfully. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed does hate promiscuity. A plague came to Klal Yisrael. So now we're going to take revenge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, take revenge against these Midianim. And the Pasuk says as follows, Heichaltzu mitchem anashim letzava. You have to arm yourself, people who are anashim, in order to take revenge against Midian. And Rashi explains, what are anashim? Those are tzaddikim. We're not just going to choose soldiers based on physical ability and the prowess and able to shoot an arrow, shoot a gun, an M16. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a specific characteristic of having a tzaddik. And the concept here says the Avni Ozel is when we have tzaddikim who are leading the charge, even in war, things come out okay. They have the right intentions. They will come out unscathed and they will be successful in their task. On the other hand, if we have people who are not tzaddikim, they have aveiras, they indeed will not have the right kavanas, they don't have the right merits to protect them, war can really be a negative escapade at that point. So we need tzaddikim who are really going to lead the charge when it comes to going to war. So accordingly, if we hark forward to Dvarim Perek Chaf Pasuk Ches, it says when going out to war, that if somebody, quote-unquote, is fearful, mi hahish hayarev racha levav, somebody who's scared to go out to war, let him go back home. He's not going to join us in the war. So when you are bringing together your army, we're going to tell certain people to go back. They are not going to be coming out to war with us. And Chazal and the Gemara and Sota tell us, what does this mean, hayarev ma'aveiro shebiyado? What does this mean, somebody who is fearful? It is fearful of the sins that he has committed. In other words, we again are looking for the standard of somebody who is proper, who is a tzaddik, who has merits. And if the person is fearful, it's not fearful of the war that we're talking about. We're talking about he's fearful of the sins that he has committed. And then the Gemara brings a fascinating example of a sin that has been committed that would be grounds for the person to be fearful and he should go back. Vafilu sach bein tfila letfila. Even if he spoke between putting on his two tefillin, so he put on the tefillin shel yad, and then he spoke, and then he put on the tefillin shel rosh, aveira hi biyado, that it is an aveira, and he would go home, don't come out to war with the rest of us. And the question that the Avnei Ozel asks is, if we're going to choose an example of an aveira for somebody that he should be fearful and is going to go back because of this and not participate in the war, he's not a tzaddik, why is this the example? And he explains as follows, what does the tefillah shel yad, the tefillin shel yad, and the tefillin shel rosh, what do they represent? So the tefillin shel rosh represents the proper kavanas in the head. It's on the head where we speak, where we think, excuse me, where all of our thoughts are, that is the tefillin shel rosh. That's what it signifies, our thoughts, our philosophies. And the tefillin shel yad represents the actions that we do. That's why they are on the hand. That's the hand, that's the maisa, and the rosh is the machshava. And the concept here is that when it comes to choosing somebody, a tzaddik, the definition is that he matches what's inside and outside. The thoughts and the actualization of those thoughts are the same. And he is not one thing on the outside, looking proud and proper like a tzaddik on the outside, but unfortunately, on the inside, the thoughts don't match what is shown on the outside. And that's the concept here. Somebody who's speaking between the shel rosh and the shel yad and the shel rosh. He's speaking between putting on the tefillin shel yad and the shel rosh. He's speaking between the two. That shows that there is a break between the maises of the individual, the actions represented by the shel yad and the shel rosh and the machshava of the individual, that there is a gap between them. They don't match. He's one thing on the outside, but unfortunately, he's not the same thing on the inside. And that represents that that is an aveira. Aveira hu biyado v'chozer. That such a person who is representing one thing on the outside and is different on the inside, that's an aveira worthy that he should not even come out to war. And that's what we're looking at in the war against Midian. We want to avoid people like that. We want to have anashim who are tzaddikim, they are tochobo kaboro, matching the inside and the outside. We are now moving forward to number two. We are in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudalid, Pasuk Testvav. It says, Vayiktov Moshe al-Pekudei Achayil. This is after the war. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael was highly successful, but they dropped the ball on something. Hachiyisem kol nekeva. Moshe is unbelievably upset. He says, you came back, you were successful, but you didn't kill off the women. You took them as captives? And the question is, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell them to kill the women. Go out to war, destroy the enemy, but he didn't say specifically to kill the women. So why was he upset? So the Shlach HaKadosh answers beautifully. We have a proof here. This is a raya. That's something that is logical. Something that is simply makes sense to do. You should do it without being told. Because who caused the whole problem here was the women of Midian. They were the one who went and enticed the men of Klal Yisrael. And even though Klal Yisrael were not commanded to destroy the women, it should have been obvious. And something that is seicheldik, something that is simply logical and obvious, we are obligated to do, even in the absence of being told to do it. And the Shlach HaKadosh brings a quasi-proof for this. He says, when it comes to Bilam, Bilam says as follows, when he was having the escapade with his donkey, Chatasi ki lo yadat, he says to the angel there, I sinned. I didn't know that you were standing here. What's he really saying here? She'im ein adam mevin davar sheish la'avino. He's saying, if somebody doesn't understand something that he should have understood, I should have understood that something more was going on here. My donkey, who I have trusted for decades, and he was causing issues, I should have understood that. I should have understood that there's a malach of Hashem standing in the way. And the fact that I didn't understand that, chatasi, that is a sin. And based on that, the Shlach learns that something that's obvious, something you should figure out, it's A, B, C, and you didn't figure out, indeed, that is sinful. Number three, we are going forward to the koshering, the halachas of koshering of utensils that we get from the non-Jews. If you buy something that's new, as we know, you put it into a mikvah, if it's been used, you have to do hagalah, just like we do coming into Pesach. We kosher our kelim in boiling hot water. So we're now in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis. So it says as follows, V'yomer Elazar HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava HaBayim LeMilchama. Elazar says to the Anshei Tzavach that are HaBayim LeMilchama. This is after the war. And he's telling them the halachas of koshering utensils. But it says HaBayim LeMilchama. It says that they are going off to war. They are coming to do war. And it doesn't say HaBayim Min HaMilchama, that they're coming from the war. So what's going on? Isn't the war over? Apparently not. So the Chovos Havavos explains it with the following analogy. There was a maisa, there was an occurrence with a chassid. And he saw a group of soldiers after they had come back from an incredibly successful war, and they were celebrating. They were partying, they were having a barbecue, they were enjoying life because the war is over. And the chassid who's seeing this says as follows, you just completed and were successful with a small war. But you have to know, you need to expect that the much harder war is about to come to you. And that's the war against your Yetzer Hara. You're going to have to fight your Yetzer Hara. What does that mean? Because you're successful. And it doesn't have to apply only to war. But if somebody is successful in anything, the gaiva kicks in. As a result of success, we have an even more difficult fight. Is that with the arrogance that can come with success. And that's what that chassid was telling them. You may have finished the military battle, but that was easy compared to the war that you're going to have to wage with your hates or hara in order to keep your gaiva in check. And based on that, the Yitzhev Lev says as follows, the same thing is going on here with El Azar telling the people who came back from war. It's not that habayim mina milchama, they came from the milchama. It says habayim le milchama. El Azar is telling them the war is not over. Thankfully, you were successful. We were successful in the military war, but the true war is here and attacking us, and it will continue to attack us going forward, that we need to get rid of the Yetzer Hara to make sure that it doesn't go to our heads, that we were successful. And accordingly, explains the Yitav Lev beautifully right now. This is why Elazar gives them the mitzvah of Hagalas Kelim. This is a remiss to them, just like that Kli, We need to purify it from anything that's in it, any impurity that has been absorbed in the kli. So too, Elazar is telling them, you need to purify yourselves from any iser that has come into you, any improper thoughts, any of the yetzer that's coming to attack you, just like we need to do hagala on the kelim, we need to do effectively hagala on our midos. And based on that, the Yitev Lev says we can answer the question of the Ramban. Here we have Elazar telling Klal Yisrael, we have a mitzvah of cleaning this kelim, koshering this kelim. This isn't the first war that Klal Yisrael waged. This was against Midian, but previously there were other wars that many more Jews were participating in. There was the war of Sichon and the war of Og that we were also successful in. So why right then, after the war with Sichon, with the war of Og, wasn't there a tzivoy, an obligation? Hagalas Kalim! We have Kalim, we got the Kalim from them, we took it as a booty of war, we have their fancy pots, Teflon pots, we need to do Hagalah. Why did it wait until now? And based on this, the Yitav Lev explains, he answers the Ramban's question that when it came to the war against Sichon and the war against Og, those were different in the sense that all of Klal Yisrael went out and waged war against them. That wasn't a limited amount of Jews waging war. When it came to Midian, it was only 12,000. A very limited group, small group, attacked a huge army of Goyim. That wasn't the case with Sichon and Og. All of Klal Yisrael went out, and accordingly, because of all Klal Yisrael went out, it's highly unlikely that the gaiva would kick in, because they wouldn't view it as such a significant military victory, because so many Jews were fighting in the war, but it only with Midian. So only 12,000 people of Klal Yisrael went, the tzaddikim, but 12,000 to attack Midian and to have huge success against Midian. Here we have the huge risk that it'll go to their heads. The gaiva will go to their heads. Accordingly, this is right now. The Torah had to wait. Waited until Midian to have the tzivui of Hagalas Kalim to teach us. Hagalas Kalim, this is how we have to purify ourselves from the Yetzer Hara. Just like we're purifying the vessels, we have to purify our own hearts. Now we are going forward. We are going forward to Vort number 4. We are in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Memtes, and Nun. And after the war, Klal Yisrael treks. Did we lose any soldiers? Did we lose any of these tzaddikim that went out to war? And nobody was missing, b'chazdei Hashem. And the Pasuk says as follows, we took a census, avadecha nasu es rosh anshei ha-milchama she-biyadeinu v'lo nifka mimenu ish. No one was missing. Unbelievable. Every soldier was accounted for, vayakrev es korban Hashem. And they brought a korban. So, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Lo nifka mimenu ish la'aveira. No one committed an aveira. What's going on here? So this is an allusion that no Jew was missing. This is alluding to the fact that nobody sinned. The big risk with Midian, the Midianite women, that caused the whole problem, the Mageva and Klal Yisrael. And now we're going out to war, and war is a risky thing. Risky militarily, risky when there are women around. We know there's the Indian of Yafas Tor. And what the Pasuk is telling us now, that the Gemara and Shabbos is telling us now, is despite the fact that we were at war, and the Yetzer Hara indeed can kick in, nobody committed a sin with any of the women of Midian. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds to them, Im kein korban zilama. So why are you bringing a korban? He says, we counted the people, lo nifkad mibenu ish, no one was missing, which is alluding to the fact that no one committed a sin with any of the women of Midian. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds, so why are you bringing this korban to Hashem? And they say as follows, imide avera yatsanu, mide hirchur lo yatsanu. True, nobody did a physical sin, but hirchurim, thoughts about sin, inappropriate thoughts, as we say in the Kriyat Shema Lo Sasura Chedavavchem Verachari Eineichem, your eyes, when you look at things, it leads you to have improper thoughts. So Hirhurim, improper thoughts we did have. And accordingly, the soldiers responded, we needed to bring a korban. So a physical act we didn't do, but the Hirhurim we did do. And we have the question, says the Chidush Harim, based on this. So why did they wait? Meaning immediately when they came back from the wars, they should have brought this korban. But now we had things going on in the intervening time. For example, Hagalas Kalim. There was the whole parsha of telling about what Kalim you have to kasher and kashering Kalim and all that. Why did they wait until hear all that stuff? Why didn't they come home, bring the korban? Why did they have to wait until Hagalas Kalim? There was obviously a time gap here. And the Chidushei Harim answers beautifully. Initially, they thought that the only problem, lo nifka mimenu ish, is doing the act of a sin. But they did not think that there was a problem with having inappropriate thoughts. That's not considered a sin. You don't need a kapara. You don't need to repent for that. But then when they heard about the mitzvah of hagalas kelim, that they heard, what's the concept of hagalas kelim? Even though the kli itself, the vessel itself, is totally tahor, is totally pure. There's no isser of the kli itself. The kli is not usser. But it has absorbed things. It has absorbed the taste of tarfus, and you still have to clean it. Kli is fine, but we need to do a gala to clean out what was absorbed. They learn from that that it's not only a problem of a sin when you act on a sin, but the thoughts as well, what we absorb, what we think. That's not the item itself. We haven't committed something physical. We haven't done an act with our body. But just the thoughts, we have to do hagala on ourselves as well. And that's why it explains why we had this time gap, says the Chidush Harim, because it was only when they learned about the mitzvah of Hagas Kelim did they extrapolate from that, that not only is Nifka Mimenu Ish, that doing a physical act is a problem, but doing a mental thought, improper, lewd thoughts, that's also a problem. There's a concept when it comes to Kashrus, Ta'am Ki Ikar, that the Ta'am itself, that the Ta'am that's absorbed, the taste that's absorbed from traces, it's life having treif itself. So too now they learn that the machshava kemaaseh, that the thoughts, just having the thoughts, is as if you did the act as well. That they only learned when they heard about the mitzvah of hagalas kelim. Now we're moving on to number 5, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Portions of Klal Yisrael, certain shvatim of Klal Yisrael, decided to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They had a lot of livestock. They were going to stay there. And the pasuk says as follows, Umikne Rav. That's livestock. They had a lot of, we'll read the pashas of the pasuk and then explain a vort on it. Umikne Rav haya livnei Reuven v'livnei Gad. So there was a shevet of Reuven and God. They had a lot of livestock, so they needed a lot more lands. And there was an expanse of land on the east side of the Jordan. Accordingly, they opted to not go into Israel proper, to live into Israel proper, but to stay there. And Rav Bonim Ipshitzcha has a nice word on this. It says, he says that the reason that they wanted to stay, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming into the land of Israel. He was going to be buried on the eastern side of the Jordan. And they said, we want to stay with him. We want to stay with him. We're so attached to our leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. So even though he's passing away, we want to stay next to where he passed away. And he makes the word as follows. Umikne Rav. Mikne is based on the language of Kinyan. That they had this close affinity, this Kinyan with Moshe Rabbeinu. They were Davuk. They were attached to him. Kinyan Rav. Rav. Livestock means a lot of livestock, but here his word is Kinyan, that connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav is the Rav, there's the Rabbi, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Ha'il of Nei Ruvenu Lenei God. Nei Ruvenu God had that Kinyan Rav, that close connection and affinity, that dveikus to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is why they opted to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Now we are moving on to vort number 6. We are in Perek Lamed Beis. Chasuk Chaftalid as follows, B'nu Lachem Arim. We have a discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Shvatim who want to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan. And it says as follows, B'nu Lachem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, build for yourselves Arim Latapchem, cities for your children, Ugderot Litzonchem, and corrals for your son, for your flock, B'hayotze Mipichem Tasu, and what you say, you need to do. So what's going on here? A couple of questions. The order, first build cities for your children and then corrals for your flock. And also, what does that have to do with adhering to your word? So truth be told, says the Ksav, so for somebody who is so interested in materialism, he runs after money. That is his life. Money, 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 money. That person is not trustworthy because his focus in life is materialism. Try doing a business deal with him. Can you trust such a person? If that's all he's interested in, he's not concerned about the ethics and the relationships with people, but money, 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 that's a person who you can't trust. And accordingly, there's actually a medrash that tells us as follows, explains the psukim, that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they had said first to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe said, you want to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan, but Klal Yisrael is going to go fight the war. They helped you. You have to come fight them. We'll help. We'll fight them. Fine. So what we're going to do, says B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, G'deiros Tzon Nivnet Limiknenu. First, we're going to build corrals for our flock, the Arim Letapenu, and we're going to build cities for our children. So in other words, their concern was we need to take care of our materialism. We need to take care of our assets. Our assets are our flocks. We have a lot of wealth in these flocks. We need to make sure that we build proper protection for them. And afterwards, we're going to build cities to protect our children while we go off to war and help Klal Yisrael conquer the land of Israel. That was clearly their priority. Their priority, they said it. We're first going to take care of our assets, and then afterward we'll take care of their children. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, that is not the priorities. You're making the tafel ikar and the ikar tafel. You're making what's insignificant, significant, and what's insignificant, insignificant. Your priorities are warped. They are reversed. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, what you have to do is arim letabchem. This is on our pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Chavdalet. You have to build cities for your children first. The family, the children, that's your responsibility. That's how, what your priority has to be. And thereafter, you take care of your assets. And then you build the corrals for your tzon. And what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying them as follows. If you reverse your priorities, if you reverse them, and first you take care of what's the ikar, and only thereafter the tafel. First you take care of the kids, and thereafter you take care of your assets. At that point, you will be people, hayyote mipichem tasu. You will be people that what you say is what you're going to do, and you'll be trustworthy. But based on your priorities before, unless you reverse your priorities, you're going to be the people that will not be trustworthy. So that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Number one, reverse your priorities. First, take care of the kids, thereafter your assets. And if you do that, if you're successful in reversing your priorities, then you will become trustworthy people. That is the explanation of the Ksav Sofer, a beautiful explanation. And now we are going on, I guess we have seven vorts. So this one is related. So in Pasuk, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chafei, it says that, Vayomer b'nei Gad, b'nei Reuven, Moshe le'mar, avadecha yasu kasher, Aduni mitzaveh. So B'nai Gad and Reuven say, Moshe Rabbeinu will do as you have commanded us. This doesn't seem to make sense, because if you look at the language, there's a discussion going back and forth. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you guys want to stay on the east side of the Jordan. How's that going to work? Klal Yisrael is going in, and they may need your help. So it came from B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. They themselves said, you know what we're going to do? We're first going to help Klal Yisrael conquer the land of Israel, and only thereafter will we come home and settle ourselves. Right? We'll settle our kids and our flock first, but then we're going to go and help, and then we'll come home. And Moshe Rabbeinu basically repeats what they said. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu saying, you're going to have to help first and then go back. They said, we're going to help, we're going to conquer, we're going to stay, we'll be there for our brothers, we're going to make sure that they settle properly in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe repeats what they say, and now they say, Vayomer b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, Moshe le'mor, we'll do what you said. Kasher adoni mitzaveh. We'll do what you said. Why don't they say, we'll do what we said? They were the ones of the initiative. They initiated this idea. So this doesn't seem to make sense. So the Rebbe from Amshinov answers as follows beautifully. He says, if you look at their language, in their proposal to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was all about, like, for example, Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'anachnu nechaletz chushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael. We'll go. We're going to go to war. We're going to bring our arms, and we're going to fight for Klal Yisrael. But something was missing. They didn't discuss doing things l'shem shemaim, lifnei Hashem. They said, we're going to help. We're going to do it. We're going to be active. We're going to protect. We're going to do this. We're going to go to war. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he responds back to them, a number of psukim, for example, Pasuk Chaf, im ta'asunes ha'davar hazeh asher techaltzu lifnei Hashem l'milchama. You're going to go to war in front of Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, also, Lifnei Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Lifnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, fine, your actions, but your intentions have to be, this is because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And then they respond back in Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Vavadecha Yavru Kol Chalutz Tzava Lifnei Hashem. They got the message. We're going to go lifnei Hashem lemilchama, that it's not about just the actions we take, but the kavanas matter as well. The kavanas are going to be that we're doing it because it's l'shem shamayim, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Accordingly, we now understand our pasuk. When the B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven respond back to Moshe, we're going to do kasher adoni mitzaveh. True, they were the ones who initiated the idea that we're going to go and conquer and we're going to be there for Klal Yisrael. But they were missing that critical aspect of lifnei Hashem, that it has to be l'shem shamayim. And only once they heard that from Moshe, you're going to do everything you said, but it's going to be Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, Lifnei Hashem. Now they respond back, we're going to do it your way, not our way. We'll do it your way because it's going to be Lifnei Hashem. And that's why it says that in that Pasuk Chav Zayin, Lifnei Hashem, they really got on board with it. Thank you so much for listening.